know by the title and this position, you guys are pretty familiar with this. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli was almost blind, not going to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel, Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He jumped out and ran to Eli. "Here am I. What do you need?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." And the Lord called out again, "Samuel." And Samuel jumped and again ran to Eli. "Here I am. What do you need?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So now the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "What do you need?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if someone calls you again, say, 'Yes, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called it before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Let us listen to the word that shares with us.
I was delighted to hear that report from WRE. As we had previously announced that the third Sunday of each month during the moment in mission slot, we would be attempting to hear from a local ministry. I believe it's important that we are informed of what's happening in our communities in front of our noses. So I also invite you to come with suggestions about who you would like to have share 10 minutes or so during the morning service. I had a fleeting thought during the Sunday school class by a suggestion I had heard that maybe I should stretch it an extra 15 minutes this morning to prepare you for the next pastor. And I see I'm getting opportunity to do that, although I haven't filled in previously to this moment. I think that it's good to be able to include what God is doing, such as the students sharing what's happening at EMU, and to, rather than try to stick to a strong time frame, which I think is important, and maybe more important as a church grows, that we are informed and we enter into what is happening at the moment. Called by God. Who, me? Immediately, the passage that we are dealing with this morning strikes us with a lot of questions. Eli being this elderly priest, why didn't God address himself? Why didn't God appear in some form to Samuel so he would know who is talking? We have all those trivial questions which I think leave out some of the important things that happened. And I would like to lift from this three important statements to dwell upon and learn from. And the first is that it is important to pay attention to what children are saying God may be speaking to you. Second, from Eli's standpoint, the importance of not trying to interpret what God may be doing in another person's life, in a child's or any other Christian's, but simply to motivate them to do what Eli did and say, you ask God to speak to you because you are listening. And third, continuing on with the scripture beyond what Ron read is something very important that I'll not read it, but simply reflect on it. That is, when God does speak to you clearly, carrying through and doing what he says. Samuel, this lad that was prayed into existence, fight his mother, but God had planned it that way the whole time. And now committed to the service of the Lord in the temple. Possibly was about 12 years old at this time. And reaching that time when God begins to deal more directly and personally with children, it is evident that he carried out specific duties in the temple and was perhaps a servant of Eli's, sleeping close to Eli, carrying out these duties. He was his immediate attendant. And as old men may come to need, he needed an assistant during the night at times. It may not have come as a surprise for Samuel to hear Eli calling, as he would occasionally, and maybe a couple times a night, be called by Eli to assist him in those things that old men do during the night. But I comment on that anymore. But he was there for him and ready to respond to that need. The time was a dark time in the history of Israel. There was no recognized prophet. The priests carried out the duties of the temple and the rituals of the temple. Those that were sincerely seeking God were perhaps at a point of worry, knowing that Eli soon would leave them, and also Eli was not able to function as well as he once did, knowing that his successors, his sons, were kind of scary to be in the role they were in, wondering what would happen. But God, who loves his people, God who honors his own established word and will see to it that that which has been prophetically spoken will be carried out, God who will always see that his plans for humanity to be fulfilled, now begins to do something about the situation. And he begins it by one night, in the dark of the night, with the candlesticks still glowing before they had burned all of the oil, and Eli being asleep, that valued sleep that anyone over 60 has learned to value. God speaks to this young man, simply calling his name. Again, the question, why didn't he say more at the time? We don't need to get into that. Samuel. Immediately Samuel's up by the bedside of Eli, ready to serve him. Eli, like I said, who values his sleep, says, go back to bed. Short time later, the boy is there again. I heard you call my name. Now, as old men would be, I would suppose he's getting a little irritated at this kid. Go back to bed. Now, two things are happening. When an old man's sleep is disturbed, he's awake. Very important, he's awake and he's thinking. He's deciding whether he's going to submit to the irritation or pay attention that something different is taking place here. And so, the third time, he's very much awake when here he comes running again, saying, you called me Eli. Every time I read this passage, I'm reminded of a moment in my own life, a very important moment, when my oldest child was going through a certain stage, I thought it was, at the age of 9 or 10, somewhere in there, where every time they went to bed, they found a reason to get up after they were to be in bed, come down the steps, I want to drink a water, they were too old for that, something is going on. It happened night after night. I don't recall how long, maybe 2 weeks, and I wasn't very old then, but I was old enough to get irritated about it. Go back to bed. What's wrong with you? But by about the 12th time, I got awake spiritually to this need. It was after we had come home from Bible school. And I was sitting there meditating on Bible school, And I heard the pitter-patter of feet, and I was awake spiritually, and I know it was God spoke to me and said, be patient and watch what's going to happen. There's something important taking place. And my daughter came down, and this time I didn't say go back to bed. I said, why did you come down? And now I create an atmosphere for her to speak. And she said, I'm scared. And I thought she had gotten over that years ago. She's too old to be scared. I said, why are you afraid? She said, I'm afraid that if Jesus would come tonight, I would still be here in the morning. Oh. So I had the privilege of doing what Eli did, recognizing that God was speaking to her. And I had her talk to him, because he already was calling her. Praise the Lord. Pay attention. You'll miss something very important if you don't. And I'd like just to continue on while I'm in this vein, that I had learned by that time and a few times later that it is important to pay attention. And I remember traveling down a street in Baltimore, and a little squeaky voice in the back seat says, Daddy, isn't the speed limit 35? And let me tell you, there was more to those words as the Holy Spirit took a hold of that than just that statement. Another time, it was several years later with another one of my children, and I'll never forget, after a moment of irritation with them, they looked me straight in the face and said, if you want to get along with me, stop raising your voice. And I must admit that it took a moment for me to hold my mouth, like I was kind of like Eli. I'm sure he dealt with this. What's this kid's got to say to me? I shut up. And I said, you mean that, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, that's a deal. I'll try not to raise my voice. And I know it's a project. It's difficult. It's sometimes impossible for you to do. You try and get along with me. 10 years later, I thanked them for that, and they had forgotten. They said, Dad, I was glad I could help you out. Yes. Now, Eli is over there in his bed. Samuel goes back to his, and this time he hears the voice, Samuel. And he follows the teaching, the instruction of that person he has come to honor and respect in authority next to him. That's always important. And he says, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And he gets quite a row. Eli had realized this boy was growing up. Eli had realized that it is so important for us to realize in every individual's life around us, and we don't. When we sense God is speaking to them, we, if we're more mature, always like to pick up on it and tell them what's going on, when we should just zip our lip and realize that the greatest thing a Christian can do for another individual, Christian or non-Christian, is do what Eli did. Say there's a God that's trying to speak to you personally, that is going to say things that I never could say to you. He's going to talk to you about things that I have nothing to do with. He is going to take possession of your life to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you, to carry you through. Because listen, living is not about this life. It's not about me. Yes, it's important to pay attention to your authority. It's important to read the Word. But it is likewise the most important thing in life for you to connect with God and to come to that place where not only once, but continuing in your life, you will shut your mouth. You will stop paying attention to what everybody else is saying and say, Lord, I'm listening. What do you have to say to me? Mother Teresa was once confronted by a news commentator when she mentioned how much she prays, and says, what do you say when you pray? She said, I don't say much, I listen. He said, what does God say? She said, he doesn't say much either, he listens. Ah, that's a new twist, isn't it? You see, talking for most of us is no problem, but listening is. Samuel had to listen. By Samuel listening, things began to change in the whole life of Israel. By you as an individual listening, things change. They change in the atmosphere of the spiritual. God can do something. The devil is hindered. Hallelujah. They change around you. Your whole life changes when you pay attention. I have never heard God speak verbally. I have a friend who did. He was a very industrious, successful farmer and grain dealer. In his early 30s, we were both near the same age, and I had held a revival in the church he attended. Him and his wife were 100% for the Lord, serving him in that capacity. But one day out in the field, he hears someone call his name. Leon! One time! But he never forgot it. He began to process that with the authorities around him in the church. Brought him to the place where he gave up the business, the farm, moved from that restored old farmhouse, I love him, to the city of Chester, Pennsylvania, where he came as the assistant to a pastor in a church about our size. Within a year, the former pastor suddenly died. Within a few years, I don't like to tell you this part, most of the people that were attending from other places of Mennonite ancestry left. But I was invited back by Leon to Chester, Pennsylvania about 4 years ago, which is, she said more than that. We'll say eight. That isn't the point. 20 years after he went to minister to the original church of about 150 people, 50% one color and with a mix of several others, and 50% of pale faces, getting along great. I didn't have the chance to visit the Spanish church they started in that city. I didn't have the opportunity to visit the other church they started in that city, but I did have an opportunity to speak at the halfway house these churches were supporting 20 years later. Why? Because one man heard God speak and dealt with it, and it changed his whole life and affected the lives of many others. The message that Samuel received was not pleasant. Tell Eli, I am about to judge and bring judgment on him for his mistakes. I don't want to do it. You know, it's okay. It's not that difficult. It's a start to say, Lord, I'm listening. I don't know what Samuel's reaction was from Eli's bed to his bed. He may have been excited. I'm going to hear God. Maybe. Wow. Evidently, God's voice was in the tone of Eli's, like an old man. I don't know. Somehow he thought it was Eli. Didn't mistake it for his mother or somebody different. But let me tell you, folks, when you take the time to come before God and listen, he usually asks you something that would be impossible to do on your own. And you never will respond if you concentrate totally on what he asks you to do. You won't respond. But if you remember that it's who you're talking to, is who you concentrate on. For he who calls you will do what? Tell me. However you want to respond to that, tell me. He who calls you will do what? Never leave you?
Give you the strength to do it.
Never leave you nor forsake you, which means as I go about performing what God says I'm to do, he is there to do the heavy work. You see, there's terms of saying, Lord, this one is yours. I don't know what to do. You know what he comes back with in that still small voice in my head? You're too uptight to do anything. Relax. Let me do it. Because more important than performing the task is relaxing with the Lord. You see, it was very important for Samuel to catch on to God speaking, because several times throughout his life he would deal with that voice again and again. As he matured into his walk with God, he would hear that voice and he would respond to it. It's just as important that we encourage each other and work daily ourselves at the same role. Hearing God's voice personally, and also as Eli did, create an atmosphere so that when God speaks to someone else about you, or they just have some good common sense to confront you with at times, it's easy for them to do it. Do you see how easy Eli made it for Samuel? He said, son, what did God have to say? Samuel said, I don't want to tell you. And he gave him a strong warning. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could deal with each other like that and say, look, please, please tell me what's on your mind to help me improve and be a better child of God. Do you realize why it's important? Because our mistakes, our weaknesses bring reciprocatory results just like Eli's. To confront each other in love takes the grace of God, but it's the humility to receive it that will carry us on successfully. And in conclusion, in bringing it all together, let me share this, the call which divine grace designs will be made effectual. It will be repeated. And if one individual doesn't get it, another will, until God's purposes are accomplished. Eli, perceiving that it was the voice of God that Samuel heard, instructed him what to say, as we need to encourage one another. Particularly at this time, friends, listen to what God says to you and share it. Because then as the body comes together, we will together determine the will of God. Thus the elders should do their utmost to assist and improve the younger as they are rising up. Let us never fail to teach our children and those around us to prepare them and encourage them to hear somebody other than just us. And this thought struck me as someone shared in the Sunday school class how parents discourage children to go into the ministry. Instead, we parents need to say, you listen to God. You say, speak, Lord. Your servant is hearing.